So Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Hebrews 6. But I'm not going to start where I will need to read from. I'm going to start towards the end first. Okay? So I'm going to read the end part of where we're going to go first. And it says this. And this is what I've felt about the church. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we may speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we declare that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. In the Greek, lazy. Sluggish, lazy. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. So he's happy with those people. He's happy with them. He's encouraging them. He's saying, you're doing a good job. Well done. Keep on ministering in this way. Keep on testifying. But watch out. Watch out now. Don't become sluggish. Don't become lazy. Don't think, oh, well, we did a good job then, so I guess, you know, it's a... No, 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 no. This is a daily walk with Jesus. Every day is Christmas Day. And so every day we walk in this way. We find out what God has called us to, and then we do what God has called us to do. And also, by the way, don't be looking around and saying, oh, look what they're doing over there. Look what this one's doing over there. Look what this one's doing. I'm going to follow what they're... Isn't, if we'd have lived our Christian lives like that, there's no way we'd have done what we've done. If we were following other people and doing what we think was right, that would never have worked for us. We would have never done what we've done as a church. It just wouldn't have happened. I mean, Ticking, for example, the International Christian Church Network, which is based here, and all of the wonderful things that Ticking has done, all of the great things that are going on with Ticking, would never have happened if we'd have listened to what other people were doing and followed other people. God told us to do something, we pursued it, and even though there was very little encouragement, even though it didn't seem as if it was really up to much, even though we could have easily let it go completely at certain points, we didn't. We just kept on because, why? Because God had spoken to us. God told us to do it. And now we get testimonies of great results and being told that all these things that are going on with thousands of people around the world being fed, 250,000 meals last year given out through Ticking, and in England, just in Burnley there, the tremendous work that's been going on, and it's been all over the BBC and everywhere, and all of these things, but they all happened, why? Because we didn't follow other people. Because we listened to God, we prayed, listened to God, and following God, and not following other people. And God's called each one of us to do something. And don't be worrying about what other people are doing. Do what God's called you to do. Don't copy anyone else. Don't try and follow someone else or look good like someone else is doing or wondering about what you could do to possibly achieve something. Don't worry about any of those things. Just hear from God. And if you're a Christian, a believer, you've got a responsibility to hear from God. And when you've heard from God, it's not always a big audible voice. It's sometimes a small inclination. I wonder if I could do that. Why isn't someone... Here's a clue. When you find something in the church that's not being done, like, oh, why don't they do this? Why don't they... I don't get it. Why isn't someone... That church is no good, you know. They don't do this. They don't do that. Hey, that's a clue. You're perhaps meant to be doing it. That's how God works. That's how he works. He speaks to us as the body, and he says, go on, you do it. You know, don't be telling other people what they should be doing. You do it. Get involved. Roll up your sleeves. Be involved. But the writer in Hebrews is pleased with them because they have been involved, they have been listening, and they have been doing what they're called to do. But watch this, my dear friends, my precious brothers and sisters. Listen to the solemn, I mean solemn words that precede these words. Can I say that again? Solemn. Do you know what that word means, Samuel Evans? It means very, very serious. Warning. Let's go to those words and let's read from Hebrews 6. From verse 1, I'll read. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Just pause on that for a second. How many churches exist today that warn the populace out there of eternal judgment? They're not warning people about eternal judgment, friends. They just don't do it. And listen, I'm not one of those negative types of people. I really like listening to Joseph Prince. And I like listening to Joel Osteen, and people criticize him all the time. I think he's a fine man of God, always uplifting, always encouraging people, always uplifting, and always building people up. And people say, oh, he's a bit lightweight. Well, let's see what you're doing in your life, I would say to those people. How dare they criticize him? A man of God, and he's preaching the gospel. A wonderful, wonderful man. Fine, fine gospel preacher. Love those, listen to those positive preachers. But here's the thing. I'm interested in what the Bible teaches. And the Bible doesn't let us forget about eternal judgment. As a believer, I can't forget about eternal judgment. The whole of the church world may have stopped preaching on it. It seems like that. They haven't. But frankly, it does seem as if very, very few churches preach on this. But my friends, this morning, please listen. This isn't my message. This is the Holy Bible. This is the warning of the Holy Bible. And I'm not going to shout in a loud voice to try and get the point over. I'm not going to try and be dramatic. I'm just telling you, this is what the Bible says. And in my heart, I feel a conviction. I don't know if you feel it, but when I read these words out, there is a heaviness to these words. And I mean a heaviness that they carry weight. There is a weight to these words of Holy Scripture. There is a weight to these words. Your family and your friends and the churches around may not be talking about it, but the Word of God is talking about it. Now listen to what it says then as it brings it to the individual, because it goes on from that, brings it so powerfully to the individual. And I'm telling you, if you're here this morning, I'm telling you, I believe that you're here by God's design this morning. Two up the top. God's design. Only two up the top today. God's design. But please, each one of us, listen to these words. Don't hear my words. Hear the words of God this morning. Listen to what the Bible is saying. He says this. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks, just to make the point doubly clear, he goes on. He says this, for the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to be cursed, whose end is to be burnt. You can't get more sober than that. And sometimes I've had people say to me, ah, yes, but I'm assured of my salvation. I can never be lost. I can never lose my salvation. I'm perfectly safe in my salvation. Well, what do you think of these words then? Fine, believe that. I believe that I'm perfectly secure in my salvation. I'm not running around thinking, oh, I wonder if I'm saved. I'm going to try and prove that I'm saved. I'm secure in my salvation. I have eternal security in my salvation. But I would have to be blind not to see that there's a warning in Scripture here that says, if you're saved, you better have spiritual fruit to show that you're saved. Otherwise, you're in danger of hell. That's what this says. And I can't understand why the church world doesn't preach like this. I don't understand why I don't hear many sermons where they talk about the clear truth of heaven and hell and warn people. Because I think society would be very interested to hear the warnings that there is a hell. And maybe it may wake them up out of their drunken slumber if Christians were to preach that there is a hell. Oh, you think life is bad now? Wait till you're dead and you face the fires of hell. How about that for a Christmas message? My friends, I sought the Lord yesterday. He gave me this to preach. I'm preaching what he gave me to preach, what he gave me to say. I had a beautiful message all lined up for you, honestly, about Mary. Oh, it was beautiful. It was soft and it was just a lovely, encouraging message about Mary. But the scriptures come to me yesterday and God made it clear I had to preach this today. Let's go back to those verses, Chia, that we've just read. It says this from verse 4. For it is impossible, the word is impossible, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. In other words, you could be a Christian. You could understand the things of the Holy Spirit. You could have tasted the sweetness of the Word of God, but you could still fall away. And if you do, it's impossible for you to come back to repentance. It's not my doctrine. This is what the Bible is teaching. But you see, so many Christians, they come in, they leave, they go, they do their own thing. They're living any old lives. They're living their own lives. They're not interested in what the Word of God says. The Word of God is there to contain us. It's a container for our lives. The local church assembly is a container for the people of God. The church assembly where we belong is a safety place. It's a place of safety for the believers. Because they say, I belong there. That's where I live. In my spiritual home is there. That's what I'm committed to. I tithe to there. I give to there because I'm committed to there. And that's the safety structure that God has provided for us in His Word. God gave us that in His Word. I'm so happy I belong to a church. It's a safe place. and not just belong, but be committed to the work of God through that place. But some are inclined, even in the Bible, they flitter around, choosing what they will do. It's so dangerous. My friends, my dear brothers and sisters, I believe God is saying to us, listen, as we approach this year, the thing that we need to take to give to a world in a slumber of drunkenness is the fact that there is a hell. The good news of Jesus' birth, the good news of Christmas, is that he saved us from hell. The good news of this is that he came on the cross. He saved us from that destiny. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And it's also good news for here on earth because it changes the way we think. And if it changes the way we think, we receive different things. So I can now walk in the fullness of this abundant life. I can receive from God in faith and have a totally different life. I can speak different words and receive differently, completely, because of this abundant life. But here's the thing. That whole part of the story has been lost. So you go to your average funeral today, and there'll be some person up there speaking, and they'll say to people, because they want everyone to like them, and give them a nice shake of the hand at the end of the service, and say, well done, that was lovely. Or whatever they might say to them. They'll say, well, they're in a better place now. Now let me tell you about that person who says that. If they don't know that they were born again, they don't know they were serving Jesus, they don't know they were serving God, they're an absolute barefaced liar. That's a barefaced lie. No man has the authority to say that unless the person has testified to faith in Jesus Christ. They can say that they hope they're in a better place now. But if they're a true Bible preacher, the only way that they could say that they're in a better place is if they understood from the family or the person themselves that they were born again. But let me encourage you. If you have known someone and you weren't sure, God does wonderful things in the last moments of people's lives. So never live in torment. You don't know where they are. Only God knows, because God is so merciful and so loving. But what I'm saying is, we must take these words very seriously. They are warnings from God. And the religious world doesn't want to take it seriously. You know, the college that I went to, the Anglican college that I studied my master's degree in, and the Bible college that I did my first theological degree in, if you spoke like this to them, you'd be denounced and looked down upon as a simpleton. They'd look down at you, they'd think, oh, you know, with this simple boy, doesn't understand the thing, you know, not really sophisticated in his thinking. The truth is, my friends, I'll keep pace with any of them in my thinking by God's grace. And the truth is this, I'm persuaded that the word of God is of a higher authority than their opinion. I don't care about their opinion. I don't care what they think. I don't care how many churches are going along those lines. I don't care. I care about this church, the church that I have the privilege to be part of, the church that I'm privileged and called by God to serve in. And I care that we have the truth. And this is the gospel truth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I know that people, you know, They try and get people to compromise. We're not going to do it, friends. So that word is so clear, isn't it? It's so clear to us. And let's respond this morning by prayer now. Let's all stand together, shall we?